Joe hurried out of the guild, excited to advance his craft. The sudden onset of ambition was new, but he simply thought of it as overexcitement. Going about his day would surely calm him down. After wasting time walking through the merchant district, Joe had to stop and ask directions. As it happened, there wasn't a standard musical instrument store, but instead a bardic college. Unlike the mage's college, this place was open for anyone. He entered the strangely built building, learning instantly that the shape of the walls was designed to create a barrier of soundproofing. Joe winced at some of the sounds he heard coming from small rooms as he passed them. He wondered idly if the ear-rending sounds were meant as some kind of sonic defense for the college. It was obvious that this area must be where novices learned how to play their chosen instrument. After asking directions a few times, he left behind the practice rooms and came upon an administrative area with a secretary sitting behind a desk.
"Can I help you, mister?"
She politely smiled at him, though boredom was evident in her eyes. "Joe," Joe smiled in return. "I was hoping to purchase some tuning forks."
"Sure thing, honey. How many and in what note?"
The lady had pulled out a clipboard and was preparing to write on it. "Oh, let's see here." Joe pretended to think about what he needed, foisting off the question on her. "What do you have here that is abundant and of at least uncommon quality? I was hoping to give them out as gifts to some musician friends, but I'm not sure what they need."
"Musicians?"
An unexpected sneer crossed her face.
"No wonder they don't already have the equipment they need to succeed. No self-respecting bard would allow someone else to choose their equipment for them."
Joe was taken aback at her abrupt shift in attitude and hastily made his purchases before scurrying out the door. Thinking over the situation, he shrugged. Was there a way for him to have handled that better? In his mind, bards were the most ridiculed class, but that might only be true in other games he had played. Maybe they had a different role here? Why were simple musicians so disparaged? Joe decided to ignore this interaction. He had far more important things to worry about for now. Looking over his purchases, he counted out 30 tuning forks. That should be enough for quite a while, and hopefully someone else would be at the counter the next time he had to stock up. Next on the list was various components, so he bravely walked to the alchemist and had an awkward conversation with the strangely flamboyant potion maker. After he made his purchases and left that store, he stopped by the general goods store and bought as many remaining ritual components as possible. He wanted to be ready to create rituals constantly. He had no interest in running to the store every 5 minutes. Joe made it to the meeting point 20 minutes early and used the time to start sketching out some simple rituals on his spare paper. The difference in his hand's fluidity of motion between yesterday and this morning was intriguing. He didn't feel like he was doing anything different, but his hands were steady and the symbols were drawn out with a grace that he had despaired of ever attaining. Yay, dexterity! He continued working for as long as possible, but time was running out. Just as most of the people showed up for the meeting, Joe got a very welcome, yet strangely rude notification.
"Skill gained. Drawing, Novice One. It looks like you have graduated from extra-large crayons. It is very surprising to see someone start this skill at Novice One. Typically, artists show some skill when starting to draw, and their talent is adjusted accordingly. Once again, you prove how extra special you are. Keep up this pace, and you may even become a beginner by the time you retire. Effect, +1% easier to create accurate artwork per level."
What was going on with his notifications recently? They seemed to have become far more snarky, sarcastic even. Joe tried to think about when this started, and as far as he could tell, it began when he killed the wolfman during the ritual yesterday. Did he accidentally set his notifications to rude? He started to pull open his status sheet, but A-10 chose that moment to begin talking.
"Thank you all for joining us this morning. First, Let's go over some ground rules.
This statement was met with loud groans and booing.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm pretty sure you are all adults, so I'll keep it simple. Don't screw up. If you do something stupid in there, you are either going to be sent to respawn or to jail. I haven't met a single person associated with the castle that has a sense of humor, so keep the jokes on silent mode. We are apparently getting a major quest line, so pay attention to the details. Remember that the wording of quests can change the entire meaning based off interpretation, so we will talk about this in a meeting later. Everyone ready?
The gates were swinging open behind him, and it almost looked like he had planned his speech to coincide with it for dramatic effect. This effect was ruined somewhat as a yelp escaped his lips. A royal guard had appeared beside him and was inspecting him from about an inch away. The guard nodded after an awkward moment and looked around at the other people gathered. His eyes lingered on each person, and twice he pointed at a player.
Those two. What about them, sir?
Aten politely inquired while opening his guild tab to view their information.
They are traitors to either your guild or humanity as a whole. This person is a traitor to your guild, while the other has the title Race Traitor. Their statuses are falsified by a mid-tier effect, so they have outside help. He has a different guild, Black Brotherhood, listed as his actual guild. As for her, it appears she is trying to join the Wolfman faction by attacking and killing humans.
The guard rattled all of this off with a deadpan vocalization. His words shocked the others, and everyone present stared at the two who were called out. They pretended innocence and confusion for a few long moments, but one of them broke and started running. Seeing this, the other paled and ran away as well. Making a strange motion with his hands, the guard flicked something at the race traitor. She yelped and was suddenly surrounded in the red glow of a murderer. In the middle of the city, it was unlikely she would survive long, so no one bothered to give chase. The royal guard's eyes kept roaming among the people until Joe felt the shining eyes trying to pry secrets from his status.
Greater Inspect resisted. Tatum is pleased with you for the boost in power he has recently gained and has used a drop of this power to grant you a 6-hour divine effect. Veiled Soul. This will rebuff all attempts to read your true status screen.
When the benefit from this expires, you may regain the buff by making a donation or praying at an altar. Message from Tatum.
Woo, close one there. Thanks for the new altar.
The royal guard seemed puzzled, blinking at Joe a few times before moving on. He turned to Aten.
The rest are who they say they are. At least, their loyalty to your guild and the kingdom are not in question. Welcome to the Grand Palace, Ardania. The royal couple is awaiting you.
Chapter 30. Joe had a strange cognitive dissonance as they walked into the palace. The palace and grounds were beautiful, just not in the way he had expected. The castle itself was obviously ancient, but had never been repaired, or if it had been repaired, it was done so perfectly that the walls were utterly flawless. There were flowers and various beautification projects throughout the grounds, but it was obvious that their budget was nowhere near the one for war. The true beauty of the area came from the training grounds which completely surrounded the palace. Royal guardsmen hopefuls moved in shining armor, scouts were firing volleys of arrows at stationary targets, and messengers were running back and forth between the various camps. This was the training ground of the elite. An elbow to the side caused Joe to drop his intent gaze from all the combatants. Tiona was now walking beside him, looking him up and down before whistling,
"I like the new look. Skeleton just didn't suit you."
"Just wait until I am able to get my strength to 10 as well," Joe exclaimed excitedly. "I'll start looking like my actual self again."
"Oh? You weren't this slim before?"
Tiona inspected his body dispassionately.
"You don't look bad this way."
"Thanks, but I am looking forward to having a bit more muscle. I feel like if I grew my hair out a bit and went to a bar right now, I'd start getting free drinks from the men. Joe chuckled at Tiona's eye roll.
You'd need a heck of a lot more charisma if you wanted to pull that off. Your face looks a bit like a squashed potato. Also, grew your hair out? Really, Baldy? You'd need hair in the first place in order to grow it out.
Tiona snickered as Joe pretended to be hurt. So rude. Confidence destroyed. Can't pay guild dues. Joe snorted at Tiona's fake look of horror and turned to look at the large set of doors they were approaching. I bet those open into the Great Hall. That's where royalty of old would accept petitioners and hold court. This should be interesting. The chatter died down as the group stepped into the palace proper. A feeling of reverence, fear, and power flowed over them. It felt a bit like being in a library as a sniper watched you through a scope, tracking your every move and waiting to pull the trigger. They were approaching the thrones, but it seemed there were overly large metal statues occupying them. The group looked around, waiting for the royals to arrive, but the guard who had escorted them was wide-eyed at their insolence. "Bow, you fools," he hissed as he bowed toward the thrones.
"It is unnecessary. Many who come here unprepared do not know or understand our position."
A distinctly feminine voice came from the metal statue on the right. Joe wasn't the only person to flinch when what appeared to be a statue turned her head to look at them.
"Welcome, travelers. As a part of the Noble Guild, the Wanderers, you have earned an audience this day. Before we give you the details of your quest, please know that you may not tell another person the reason for it. You may share details such as where you need to go or what you need to fight, but you cannot tell them why beyond that it is a quest. If you stay here for the explanation, I will take acquiescence as your answer and bind you to it."
The guild members looked at each other, most shrugging or rolling their eyes. Requirements like this seemed to be in all of the quests given by higher-ranking individuals. It was frustrating, as trying to help someone else through a similar quest proved impossible. When no one left or had anything to say, the queen began again.
"It is good to have such stalwart heroes."
The queen exhaled a metallic blast of air. A sigh?
"Some background for all of you. A long time ago, our entire world had devolved to a state of war. Every race fought each other for the control of places of power. The battles escalated to a point where mutually assured destruction was imminent, and the inhabitants of the world were waiting to die. An outside force took control, and each nation was placed under a spell. Our populations collected together. We were frozen in a sleep-like state. We did not dream. We did not note the passage of time. We slept long enough that the outside influence was able to take control of all of our lives, and he separated us by changing the very world we stood upon. Then he raised us, this entire area, off of the continent far below."
Joe's mind turned to when he had been forced to jump into the hole in the world, and how different that experience had been. He shuddered as he remembered the power of the monsters there. It may have been for the best that they were separate.
"Because of our foolishness and our bloodthirst, when we were awoken several hundred years ago, we were given a task to complete. On this raised continent, there is only one other sentient race of people. Each of the races gets a single chance to prove that they should be the ones to survive, and the way we show this is by defeating the other group."
Her voice was grave and dark as she seemed to relive their history.
"If we win this horrible game, our continent will connect to another, where two other races are also battling for their right to live. We will be able to choose one of them to help. It will continue like this until we have saved all the races that we can, forging alliances and generating goodwill. For now, though, we must ask you to do an awful, terrible thing. You must help us win this game. So, your quest is to break the Wolfman Nation, slaughter their people, and capture their leader's throne.
Silence thundered through the area. Aten, oddly, was the first to break the silence.
Awesome!
As if his words were a trigger, a notification appeared in front of all of them. Quest alert, Shatterer people. The Queen of Ardania has offered your guild a quest. All you need to do is gain entrance to the most highly guarded area in Wolfman territory, kill their leaders, fighters, non-combatants, and capture the throne. Completing this quest will break the Wolfman Nation, leading to their eventual eradication or subservience to humans. Reward. Experience. 50,000. 100,000 gold to the guild treasury and up to 10,000 gold for each participant in the final battle, based on contribution. Maximum reputation with the city of Ardania. Failure. The human nation is shattered, leading to the eventual eradication or subservience of all humans to wolfmen.
Frick on a stick! This is an endgame level quest, y'all!
Aten's face was practically glowing as he read over the quest notification.
Then we get to connect to other races? Can you imagine the secret classes and stuff we will find in an area humans haven't touched in hundreds of years?
He wiped a drop of drool from his mouth as he said this.
So we are going to have to topple a nation?
One of the officers questioned.
No, we are going to topple a race, someone else called. Shatter a race.
Aten looked toward the queen once again.
What is the timeline for this quest? How long do we have?
As long as you need.
Her next words made a few people go quiet.
All four noble guilds will have this quest, and as long as it is completed before they are able to destroy us, you can take all the time you need. Our battles have been raging for hundreds of years. What is a few more? There is something important to take note of, though. Last night, it seems that one of their summoning spells backfired. Our scouts are reporting heavy casualties amongst their civilian population and light casualties amongst their fighters. We don't know what happened, but somehow a blow was struck against them that they weren't expecting.
Teona looked at Joe sharply, but he pretended not to notice.
After all, there was no way he was going to be able to repeat that ritual without losing a part of his humanity. He had originally wanted to change it to be less human sacrificey, but after recreating the ritual diagram on paper, he had found that it was a master-tier ritual called Abyss on Earth that required 5 mages to initiate. Altering the required components was impossible with his current abilities. All he had done yesterday was give it a different target and refresh the lines the mana ran along. The massive cost also explained why the shaman had been so easy to defeat. They had been running on fumes and what their mana regeneration would allow. Not only could he not change it, but he didn't actually know all the required components and items needed to actually empower the ritual. He wouldn't be performing a ritual on that scale for quite a long time.
As guild leader of the Wanderers, I officially accept this quest, Your Majesty,
Aten announced with a deep bow. The queen nodded. She had expected no other outcome from the meeting today.
Just know that your silence on this matter will be magically enforced. We don't need riots about the end of the world, and we certainly don't need people running off and becoming race traitors because they pity the wolves. I thank you all in advance, and wish you the best of luck. I have given authorization for Aten to have information on a series of classes and specializations that we know of. Feel free to use them. Go now, and become strong.
Their audience over, the guild officers left the building chattering excitedly. Not only had they gained an amazing quest, they now had access to more classes and specializations. This would be a huge benefit to their recruitment efforts and help secure their position as a powerful and prolific guild.
Several people started talking with Aten as soon as they were out of the gates, and he quickly acquired a harried look as he worked to access and disseminate the information given to him. Joe grinned and started walking toward the guild. Tiona caught up to him quickly since her walking speed was easily double his.
Not sticking around to learn about a new class?
Nah, I'm pretty happy with mine. Joe flashed a smile at her, but his mind was on other things. He really needed to get a workspace for himself. It turned out that only novice rituals were able to be performed with simple infusions of mana into their symbols. Starting at the beginner ranks, rituals needed chants, specialized equipment or tools, and more than anything, large amounts of protected space. Not just so that the ritual was large enough to easily find errors, but also because if a ritual failed, there tended to be devastating effects. He had read a note in his book where a miner had cut through a ritual's symbolic links as it was powering up, and the release of power had obliterated a city.
Joe!
Tiona tapped him on the arm.
Are you mad at me? You don't need to say anything if you don't want to. I just want you to know that it isn't because of you.
What? Joe's eyes locked onto her, and he realized that he had missed something important while lost in his thoughts. I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I was off in my own little world.
Wow! We are literally living in a fantasy world, and you still want to abstract it one step further.
She smiled, but the expression was strained.
I said that I am disbanding the party. I'm getting close to level 10, and I really need to take as much time as possible to grind my skills before I specialize. Thanks to the new classes and specializations we have access to, I was able to find a really awesome class I want to specialize in. I need to become an apprentice to one of the Royal Guard trainers to get it, though. If I get accepted, I won't be back for at least a month.
What? This time, Joe's half-formed word was due to incredulousness, not lack of attention. Have you told the others? She shook her head.
No, that's what I'm off to do now. I really wanted to thank you, though. Without all of you guys fighting with me, I wouldn't have made enough gold to take the time away from quests to train.
He wanted to say something, but what could he? She had been the first real person to help him in the game, and now that she was leaving, he felt a bit sour inside. Not angry, just a mix of sadness and overprotective friendship. If that's what you want to do, I'm glad you are going to do it, Joe stated firmly while shaking her hand. She thanked him, and they returned to the guild in silence. Dylan didn't take the news quite as stoically.
What the heck, Tiona? We were just starting to get a good battle rhythm. We were finally working together like a team, getting stronger and making serious money. You are just going to toss that aside?
If we beat this quest, we can earn up to 10,000 gold each.
Tiona spoke carefully, doing her best to explain her thoughts.
I want us to be a team in the future, but I need to get to level 10 and get my new class while I still can.
Dylan looked away, crossed his arms, and said nothing else. Guess and Chad both shrugged and didn't say anything beyond good luck. Tiona nodded at them all and walked away, returning to the castle. Joe looked around at the morose faces and tried to decide what to do next.
I mean, we could all party together still. Let's just find a fifth and...
Chad interrupted him.
Can't do it. To get contribution points for the guild, we are going to need a party leader who is a higher level than us. Also, I hate to say it, but it isn't likely another party leader will want you on their team. As great as it is to have a healer, Tiona had to split her officer's commission to account for your salary. No one else is going to want to work for free or half price.
Joe wanted to argue, but stopped himself. As much as he wanted to continue adventuring with these three, not having a party might be exactly what he needed to gain the time to study, practice, and perfect his class. He had been running himself ragged since he joined the game so that he could keep up with the higher-level players on his team. Maybe it really was time for him to go solo for a while. It looked like they had a few in-game months before they could really make progress on the royal quest anyway. They finished their meeting and slowly dispersed, saying their goodbyes morosely. The three others went to find a new party, while Joe went into town to find a place to make into his workshop. Chapter 31. In preparation for lengthy research and development of his skills, Joe had told Aten that he was taking a few weeks to train. The guild leader had actually looked relieved that Joe wasn't demanding to take over as party leader for his group and wasn't fighting to keep them together. Apparently, under Tiona's leadership, the members of the party had become well-respected, and several guild officers were already vying for them to join their party. Basically, he had saved Aten the trouble of telling him no. Joe rolled his eyes as he forced himself back to the present. He had rented a building and needed to get to work. It wasn't perfect, but for now, it was his. Joe looked around the dusty warehouse, already planning out what he would need to do to protect the place. The owner of Odds and Ends had offered him a lease on the large building when he had mentioned he was looking for a large open space. He was lucky to get such a good deal, even if the structure was in a seedy part of the city. Apparently, she used the building to store goods that weren't ready for her store yet. Now that she was planning on leaving the business, the warehouse was simply sitting empty and unused. The building supposedly had a few basic protection enchantments, but he had been warned that anyone could smash through them if they really tried. He was going to need to fix that issue. His first task was not to put powerful magical protections on the building. No. That would simply bring attention to him. People would wonder what treasures he was hiding, and their insatiable curiosity and greed would make them brave any barriers in their way. No. Making this place undesirable was the way to go. If being near this place was annoying and frustrating, perhaps embarrassing, people would avoid it at any cost. Pulling out his book of dark rituals, Joe began to write down the various effects and area of effect he was after. As it happened, he found that he had been making an incorrect assumption about the magic he was using. Since most of the runes and diagrams were circular, he had thought that they would all have a circular area of effect. In fact, he could change the affected area simply by changing a few variables in the circle itself. His eyebrow twitched in anger when he found that he didn't need to make a gigantic ritual circle around the guild house to stave off monsters. He only needed to adjust the parameters so that the effect was pushed out to the range he wanted. Joe growled at the memory of his previous mistakes, vowing to get better at this in the future. What he wanted right now was a rectangular area of effect that covered the entire warehouse and about 10 feet out on each side. That way it wouldn't affect people that walked by or those that simply lived or worked in the nearby buildings. Reading through his grimoire, he softly sang to himself to help pass the time. Montage. Doing a ritual creation montage. Yeah. Time didn't pass any faster, but after 20 minutes, he stopped mumbling his song and became fully invested in his studies. When his words trailed off, the crackling of turning pages sounded like a whip snapping in the silence of the building. His quills scratching notes onto some paper could be heard once every short while. He muttered, "Montage," softly every half hour or so. Eventually, he decided that he should work on the actual creation of a ritual instead of just making notes. Effects I want in this ritual. Exclusion, yes. Don't want it to affect me or guests. Passive scanning so it isn't active and wasting mana if there are no targets. The goal of the whole ritual. Nausea, yep. Maybe include the feeling of really needing to poo? Maybe actually make them poo if they hang around too long? I can't imagine many people wanting to stick around if they are feeling like that. Joe looked at a few other possibilities, selecting only one more. Exponential increase? Yeah. The closer they get to the ritual circle, the worse the effects are. Exponential increase actually reduced the overall cost of the ritual because it meant that unless you were right at the epicenter, the effect was lessened severely. Adding limiting factors was a good way to turn a powerful ritual into something usable, but making it specific like that carried its own risks. Now,
How to combine these? Exclusion requires a silver chalice be filled with my blood to be placed in the circle. Passive scanning requires a used glass eye? Why? That's disgusting and a little weird. Moving on. The nausea requires the third stomach of a cow, and the poo feeling needs the fresh intestines of a bear. Exponential increase needs an example of exponential growth. Could I use a copper and gold coin? That's exponential growth of cost, at least. Joe wrote down all the details onto a paper before looking through the various ritual circles. Since this will be a beginner-tier ritual, I'll need at least two different circles. This one is used for affecting all in area, and this double-lined circle is used to stipulate area this big. Hey, that's the same one I use for Predator's territory. Joe happily created the ritual diagram, frowning when his hand jerked to the side and splashed ink all over the page. Stupid drawing skill being so low. Stupid dexterity, he muttered as he pulled out a fresh sheet and started over. He was able to create the spell diagram this time, and it began to glow a soft gold as he looked at it. Good, good. Now I just need to add in what other components should be needed. I already knew that silver wire was needed for the double-lined circle, but what about the target all circle? Looks like air, water, and fire. How elementary, my dear Watson, he chuckled as he worked. So far, all his new space had done for him was let him study in peace and protect others from his puns. If anyone else were to know about this, they would agree that it was a good investment. Putting the finishing touches on the ritual, he noticed that it was glowing a brighter gold than it was originally, but he also knew he could improve it to a higher degree. He adjusted all the parameters a tiny bit, and over the course of another hour, he fine-tuned all the requirements. Finishing at long last, he smiled at the brightly glowing page and finally acknowledged the notifications waiting for him. New ritual created. Quarantine area. This ritual was designed specifically to drive off unwanted company. The designer didn't seem to realize that his personality would have worked twice as effectively. As this is the first ritual you have designed, you gain a reward. Because it is a beginner-tier ritual, rewards are doubled. Profession, occultist, 500. Occultist has reached level 2. Speed of reading and writing is now increased by 10%, currently set at 60% bonus. New languages are now 20% easier to learn, written form only. Skill increased. Ritual lore, beginner 0. Congratulations! Study and practice have allowed you to increase your usage of a skill considered useless by society. You'll prove them right someday because you are like King Midas. Except that instead of gold, everything that you touch seems to turn to turds. Intelligence, perception, and luck plus 1. Skill increased. Ritual magic. Apprentice 4. The creation of your own rituals certainly allows you to increase this skill at a much faster rate. Nice work earning a skill increase after spending most of your skill points to get this far. Joe kind of wanted to yell at whoever was making these notifications. Seriously! This was bordering on abusive at this point. He double-checked his settings, but it appeared that his notifications were still set to normal. Joe snorted and left the building. It seemed that he needed to purchase some specialized equipment for his ritual. Namely, animal innards. Doing a bit of shopping turned into a seriously unpleasant chore. When he went to the counter of the general goods store, people laughed at him. It looked like he had grabbed a random pile of garbage. They seemed to think that he didn't understand that most of these items were considered trash drops, things found in old buildings or from monsters that didn't have any real value. Only the heavily tarnished silver chalice still had any value at all, but it would need to be melted down or sanded and polished to become useful again. He would have bought a better one, but it was literally the only pure silver chalice he'd been able to find. Joe's ears felt like they were on fire, and his cheeks were bright red from the embarrassment he was feeling. It was all for the pursuit of magic. He would suffer any humiliation to be able to bend the world to his will.
So what if these basic muscle brains couldn't see past the end of their sword?
Joe stumbled a bit. Where in the world were these narcissistic tendencies coming from? It was fun to think like that as a joke, but he didn't want to become a person who sneered at other classes of people. Maybe it was just a wizard thing, or...
Aha!
He was jumping to conclusions about people. The skill had specifically warned him about this sort of thing. Armed with new knowledge about himself, Joe hurried about his tasks and simply kept his head down. He did his best to ignore the few chuckles he elicited with his strange shopping spree and simply did what he needed to do. After going to the butcher's to get a cow's stomach, he found that he had another problem. He was already carrying too much. Adding on 20 or so pounds of animal intestines certainly wouldn't help the situation. Why did he always need to get extras? How many times was he planning to cast this ritual? Joe made his way back to the warehouse before returning to the butcher's. He was sweating heavily from the swift pace he had needed to set to make his purchase in time, and from the look on the butcher's face, he was sure that his charisma had taken a hit.
I need a... Ugh.
Joe had to stop himself from retching from the combination of his run and the smell.
I need a cow's third stomach and bare intestines. Do you have those?
What the heck are you going to do with those?
The butcher had a Cockney accent so thick that Joe could barely understand him. Joe stared at the man for a long moment as he parsed the words.
Oh, does it matter what I want with them?
His words caused the butcher's face to darken.
All right, I guess it does. It's bait for a trap. We need a specific combination to draw out a large monster.
The butcher seemed to think it over.
Why? Oh, I can do the stomach for a copper, but fresh bear insides is going to be a solid silver.
Works for me.
Joe handed over the money and got meat wrapped in a slowly seeping sack in return.
Thank you.
He hurried away.
No problem, kiddo. Come on back soon.
The butcher replied needlessly. Joe was already across the street by this point. Night was falling, but Joe wasn't overly concerned. How many Master Tier Abyss on Earth rituals were out and about in the world? Joe bet that the number was close to zero at this point. He was pretty sure that the activation of the ritual was why the human city had been attacked by monsters every few nights recently. Actually, if the reason night became so deadly was the ritual he had subverted, nighttime hunting would soon become rather popular. No one liked that they lost half of the time they had to level each day, though it had been conducive to the rapid advancement of non-combat skills such as tailoring. Didn't matter to him. Joe had a ritual to create. He unlocked the door to the warehouse and walked in. Joe paused. Something felt off. Was there someone in here? He looked around the huge room, but it remained empty.
Hello?
Obviously, there was no reply. He shook off the feeling and got to work. Having stored the meat in his ring, there was no real rush to complete the ritual, but he really wanted to. Pulling a bucket full of chalk into the center of the huge vacant room, he dropped to his knees and started drawing out the spell circle. The first-tier circle went on the outside, so he started with the far more difficult interior magic circle. Halfway through the process, he was intensely happy with his decision to use chalk. It made erasing his many mistakes easy to do, though it pained him every time he needed to redo a section. Maybe when he was a master artist, he would be confident in using a more permanent medium that let him draw more accurately, but for now, chalk would have to do. Very carefully stepping out of the completed portion, Joe began drawing the double-lined circle around the outside. He was using a curved chunk of wood to make the curve, having learned that freehand circles were not to be trusted. When the exterior was complete, Joe wiped his face. He didn't care that he left a long streak of chalk behind. The diagram was complete. Placing all the items he needed in his ring, Joe stepped into the center of the ritual area and began arranging the components. This wasn't a novice circle, so he couldn't just toss everything into the center and hope for the best. Failure to do everything perfectly increased the mana cost or created feedback that could damage him. When all the items were out of his bag, Joe lit a candle, put a feather on a pedestal, filled a bowl with water, and dropped a large stone on the floor. There. That should take care of the elemental components. Next was the chalice of blood.
Blech.
He pricked his finger and watched the blood flow out, and flow, and flow. When it was finally over, he was quite dizzy and wishing that he had been able to find a smaller chalice than the one he bought. He healed himself, double-checked that he hadn't scuffed the chalk, and grinned.
Time to make the magic happen.
He placed the core into the center of the arranged components and began to feed mana into the spell circle. In a flash, 10% of his mana was gone. He gasped and tried to regulate how quickly the mana was pouring out. Joe forced the power back into the proper channels and began to sweat. Controlling the ritual was becoming rather difficult, and the mana required per second was starting to strain his channels. Joe watched as his mana ticked down. 20%. 10%. 5. The pull of power stopped, and Joe shuddered in relief. His mana regeneration pulled him up to 15% when the draw suddenly began again. What the? The outer circle had its own mana requirement? Oh, crap. The draw of mana was much smaller, but he still reached zero mana disturbingly quickly. Ow! His health took a hit before his mana regen kicked in. The accordion effect of health and mana continued for a couple seconds, but the ritual completed in time for him to survive the process. The inner circle of the ritual glowed a sickly green, while the outer was colored a clashing, vibrant orange.
Ritual quarantine area completed. Players who will remain unaffected. Joe. Once active, this ritual will remain for 6 months until maintenance is needed. Activate ritual now. Yes. Or no.
Might as well.
Joe clicked yes and waited for something to happen. He felt nothing, but did notice that his mana was entirely empty. Not wanting to waste the opportunity, Joe quickly sat down and worked to squeeze all of his mana into a perfect sphere as it regenerated. The storm of power in his mind shrunk noticeably, his wisdom score quite a bit higher than it had been the last time he worked to improve this ability.
Skill increased. Coalescence. Novice 9. You stand at the peak of novice-ranked coalescence. Work hard and think deep thoughts. Deeper. Oh, that's your limit? Skill increased. Mana manipulation. Novice 7. Guiding huge waves of energy through your body without damaging yourself is the mark of a true magical artist. But if that is the case, it appears that this is yet another area where you are still using crayons.
He was happy about the skill increases, but he may need to send a message to customer support if those notifications kept being so personal. Seriously, it was getting...
Blah. What in the heck is that? Joe shrieked as he jumped to his feet.
A splatter of bile found a new home on the floor, rapidly followed by a body covered in a garish red robe splashing into the newly formed puddle. Joe moved away as the invader tried to stand up, but they failed and puked again, followed by a nasty rumbling sound from their pants. Joe thought about trying to help the man, but the smell coming from the collapsed man certainly wasn't convincing him to get close. He sent a few ranged healing spells at the man, not fixing the bones broken in the fall, but keeping the man awake and alive. It also helped the smell a tiny bit. As the unknown man groaned, Joe got over his squeamishness, reminding himself that he had been in far more disgusting scenarios during his time in the army. He walked forward and grabbed the man by the arm, dragging him to the wall of the warehouse and further away from the ritual's center. Here, the ritual had far less effect, though the man's face still seemed quite green.
Who are you, and why are you in here? This is private property.
I was just trying to find a place to sleep,
the man replied piteously. If Joe hadn't caught a crafty gleam in his eye, or perhaps the ornate robes that screamed wealth, or that the man had been in the rafters, he may have believed him. Totally a believable lie from this guy.
Oh?
In that case, I am sure you wouldn't mind me charging you rent for the evening. Joe grabbed the dangling coin purse threaded into the man's belt, carefully avoiding the stained portion of his pants. He pulled the bag open, spilling gold coins into his palm. Ah, yes. I can see that a hotel is out of your price range. Good thing you came here. He looked up in time to see the man thrusting his hand at him. Joe jumped to the side, somehow executing a perfect barrel roll and landing on his feet. Stamina already depleted from that simple action, Joe watched as a bright line of heat flew across the room and reduced an empty crate to ashes. I'll take that to mean you aren't here for my health. Joe grabbed the unknown mage and dragged him closer to the center of the room. Then he slammed his scepter into the man's broken hand until he heard the bones snap. That should keep more powerful spells from being used against him. Now, we are going to have a little chat, you and I. Filthy rogue mage! The man on the ground was doing his best to squirm away from the ritual, but Joe kept him in place with the simple expedient of kicking him in the face when he tried to roll. When the college gets this information, you will be drawn and quartered! Joe sank into a squatting position. Well then, it looks like I will just need to keep you from reporting in. The mage's face paled, enunciating the green cast it had gained. They already know about you. Why else would I be here if I weren't simply gaining the proof they needed to take you? Again, not offering much incentive to letting you go. Joe healed the man, followed by rolling him a bit closer to the ritual circle. The mage released a keening sound as his bowels rumbled.
Just more proof of your twisted magic!
The mage was gasping, a riot of emotions shifting across his face. I think we need to go ahead and get to know each other better. The look in Joe's eyes didn't inspire much confidence in the captured mage. Shall we begin? Chapter 32. So tell me again why people who learn magic outside of the mage's college are evil? Joe was sitting in a chair, looking at the man he had bound with thin rope. It was thin because the man had multiple broken bones, and the way he was tied made it impossible to attempt escape without severe damage to his already mangled limbs. The mage appeared happy to spew vitriol at him.
You commoners can't understand the sheer responsibility and dedication required of a licensed mage. We who can create and shape the elements need the security and brotherhood only found within the halls of academia.
So mages only shape the elements? Joe was doing what he could to read between the lines, but he wasn't a trained interrogator.
Of course! Anything else is a perversion of the natural order, the mage shouted at him, gasping as he pulled against his bindings.
What about clerics? The holy healing powers granted by deities? The mage snorted derisively.
Keep your parlor tricks and emotional casting. What we care about is others stealing from our domain or using unholy magic they cannot hope to understand. Your rituals are a good example of what the truly insane will attempt.
How did you become aware of me anyway? That was the crux of the matter for Joe. Where had he slipped up?
You walked up to the city, proclaiming for all to see that you consider yourself a mage, then hid behind your facade of lies.
The mage somehow seemed to be looking down on him, an impressive feat as his robe had filth seeping into it.
You probably don't even deserve to be called a cleric, either. What true class are you hiding?
Ah, so it was when I switched over to my mage class to hunt. Joe nodded to himself. A question for you. Tell me, how do you rank in the college?
I am a mage of wind and fire, assistant to the assistant professor.
The mage's answer seemed overly proud of this fact.
Pretty low, then. Joe decided to use a different tactic. Tell me, oh nameless mage, how does the college get its money?
Tuition and grants from the kingdom.
Grants, you say?
Joe rubbed his chin. Is that so? I know that tuition is high. I'm told 2 skills cost 1,000 gold to learn.
This means there must not be many students, certainly not enough to make a dent in the school's apparently endless budget. Why, in your opinion, does the kingdom pay such a high amount of grant money?
The man glared at him.
Is there a point to all of this?
Yes, yes. Come on now.
Obviously, it is because there is no other place to get magical training, weapons, or defenses.
The mage snorted at the foolish man questioning him.
How interesting, Joe drawled as the pieces fell into place.
So the mage's college is the only place where magic comes from, and they also happen to send out assassins against anyone who finds their own way to practice magic. The cost to become licensed is sky high as well. To me, it sounds like the college just likes to have a monopoly on the magical market, and so they murder any competition. Let me guess. If you create something or serve a team fighting against the Wolfmen, does the Mage's College take a percentage of the profit you make? A large percentage?
What? Of course they do. How else can we repay them for the learning and magic we are able to perform?
The mage seemed pale for a different reason. Joe was digging into his beliefs now.
Usually that would be what that tuition you bragged about is for. You know, pay for the skills, the training, so on, then go off and do your own thing. Like every other profession that exists.
Joe could see dark realization forming in the young man's eyes.
Don't worry. I know what it is like to be milked of every copper by the college you thought was trying to prepare you for the future. As it turns out, you are oftentimes better learning on your own.
The mage was slack-jawed and couldn't find anything to say in reply. No one questioned the mage's college. It was against their policies.
Joe tilted his head back as he spoke out loud. So now what, I wonder? I can't simply let you run back and tattle on me. I suppose I could keep you here and use you for my rituals.
No! You will not use me as some sort of foul sacrifice to summon demonic beings!
The mage began to struggle heavily, even though he was obviously in great pain.
What in the world?
Joe looked shocked at the thought.
Of course I won't do that! I'm the champion of a deity. Why would you think that would be allowed? I meant that I need a second member of my coven to activate more powerful rituals. This one almost killed me, and it is only a beginner tier. I can create apprentice rituals, maybe even expert tier if I need to, but I need people to join me in powering them. You seem to have access to mana already, so why not?
You want me to join you in this proscribed activity?
The mage seemed to be about to faint.
Yes.
No!
Well, dang. I was really hoping it wouldn't come to this.
Joe sighed and pulled out his black book. He walked over to the table and began collecting circles and components onto a list. No matter how loudly the Tide Mage shouted, he was unable to break Joe's concentration. As the sun rose in the morning, Joe looked down at a new ritual that glowed a lovely golden color. He sighed, looked at the mage who had either fallen asleep or fainted, and got to work. Out came the chalk, and Joe tried to keep quiet as he scratched the symbols onto the floor. The ring he drew up was large enough for a bed and a chair, about 10 feet in diameter. Since he had made this ritual so very specific, the components were cheap, and he had them readily available. The silver chalice was once again filled with his blood, and yet again he grumbled about not being able to find or buy a smaller one. The captured mage groaned as the noise woke him up, blinking at Joe in obvious confusion. Fear flashed across his face as Joe stabbed him in the hand and began collecting the blood that dripped from the wound.
"What are you doing?"
His voice was hoarse, all the yelling the previous hours coming back to bite him. Joe looked him in the eye without blinking.
"Making a ritual, of course.
I just started to get good at it, and I need some practice." He stepped to the side as the mage began to thrash, trying to move his broken body out of the circles surrounding him.
He couldn't move at all without his bonds twisting his broken bones, so his attempt ultimately failed.
"I don't want to be practice,"
the mage whispered as tears formed in his eyes. Joe ignored him as he placed the blood in its position. He stepped out of the circle and looked at the whimpering mage. "You came in here with the intent to either kill me or get me killed. You cannot be too surprised that I would seek retribution on you. I ask again, will you help me willingly?" Joe looked at the pitiful figure on the ground, hoping that he would accept his offer.
"I can't!"
The young mage's words burst out in a terrified scream.
"Every mage has to sign the accords when they start school and when they graduate. This has to be done before they get their license. Even you travelers sign it, at least a few who have graduated or came into this world as full-fledged mages. I can't willingly work with you. I'd die. Plus, I don't even want to help you."
"Firstly, stop screaming at me. If you want to speak against what I have to say, or you think I am wrong, give me reasons why I am wrong. Improve your argument. Next, why in the world would you sign something that kills you if you help someone?" Joe was looking at the man, aghast at the words, even as a darker conspiracy theory tickled against his senses.
"I didn't know! No one knew!"
the mage howled at him.
"It's a binding contract. It forces us to follow the will of the Archmage. Since the lifespan of mages ranges into multiple hundreds of years, everyone that worked together to create the Accords had died before he made them mandatory for inclusion in the college. They hide the minor negative ramifications like this for good reason. The Accords were made to protect us and ensure that we work together as a society. Until now, I have always seen them as the greatest good, the thing that set us apart from the common rabble outside our walls. We have courses on the Accords and how it protects us against the rogue mages that have tried to destroy us in the past."
"Minor negative ramifications? Taking away your freedom for an elusive protection is never the solution. When are you protected? Give me examples of people attacking your college. When were your accords made? Who voted on them? Or were they forced upon your people? Who decided to hide important information from you until you had already signed them?" Joe looked sadly at the suddenly silent mage. "Tell me, what did your older mages say about the accords?"
"Nothing."
The mage paused, suddenly seeing the discrepancy.
"Actually, nothing. They weren't required to teach those classes, and we were always directed to the younger generations if we asked. Looking back, they seemed sad? Angry? I don't understand."
"What's your name?" Joe asked the man quietly.
"Sel,"
he answered, lost in thought. Panic appeared on his face.
"No! I told you my name!
Fiend!" Joe rolled his eyes. "Yeah, I never needed your name for magic. I have your blood. I'm just trying to be nice and stop calling you the puke-and-poop-covered mage in my head. Thank you for the information." He thought that he had heard enough, so he stepped back and concentrated on the ritual. "Hope this works." His words didn't comfort Sel in the slightest. The mage's eyes widened as he watched the mana flowing out of Joe. Since Joe was always doing his best to cut out distractions, he had never watched the process from the outside. As much as Sel hated to admit it, this was a beautiful piece of spell work. Mana poured into channels that were already prepared for it, creating strong bonds and links throughout. The spell form lashed out and converted the supplied components to energy, pulling what it needed into the ritual and turning the remainder to vapor. It almost looked like a lightning strike. The only thing different was the core. When the mana struck out at it, the core simply dimmed a bit. Sel felt a strange pull inside of himself and gasped as the power from the ritual settled upon him like a blanket. He tried to escape once again, but his bonds forced him to remain still. Joe stood up, brushed off his knees, and watched as the ritual began to complete around Cell. The seconds ticked by, and the power piling atop Cell seemed to slowly vanish. After a full 5 minutes, Joe nodded and stepped over the ritual circles. He untied the mage, preemptively apologized, and pulled one of his broken bones into place. Cell screamed, but the sound seemed to echo strangely.